97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You made it to Friday. Good morning to you. Welcome in. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. That would be me, Mark. We've got Scott Jagow down the desk here from me this morning helping out, and Ethan Bright is in studio with us as well. Sue Thomas will be up with your traffic in just a couple of minutes. Man, what a strange day yesterday with these fake hoax shooting calls called into two different universities. I hope they find the people that do this. I mean, I know you can still mask your phone number when you make a phone call, but my guess is with these 911 systems, they have a way of tracking down who did this. They did it in Villanova, and they did it in Tennessee yesterday. I think the University of Tennessee at like Chattanooga or something, somebody called in and made very specific allegations that there was an active shooter and that there was somebody injured. And of course, the whole campus freaks out, parents freak out, students freak out. They go on lockdown only to discover in both cases it was a hoax. And what they need to do is find the individual that did this and perp walk them and humiliate them so nobody else ever wants to do something stupid like that again. That's just it's crazy to imagine what those poor kids had to go through. And obviously their parents. I'm thinking about that. If you've ever had a kid away at college, obviously you worry about them all the time. So that's happened. But there was no shooters at all. So that happened yesterday. That was weird. And then last night, the president kept suggesting that he was going to go out on the street with the police while they did their patrols last night. So the White House had a pool reporter go out with him because they didn't want the entire media gaggle there, I suppose. And they were sending back reports to the Office of Communication. I was getting some of these last night. In-town pool report at 12 a.m. The pool, what do they say in this one? The pool has just loaded back into the motorcade at President was already in the Beast. They were following him around downtown. Now, he never actually went on patrol with the police as he suggested he was going to. I don't know how you'd sneak up on somebody in the Beast, and there's no way they were going to let him just in a regular patrol car out of fear of, you know, bullets flying or something like that. But he did go rally the troops, and we've got a little bit of that sound for you this morning, which I thought he did a good job trying to just, I mean, number one, just praising the our first responders, which we try to do around here all the time, and you know how much we love our first responders. So, by the way, we're still looking for nominations for first responders so we can go take them some food. And if you can do that, go to 971talk.com/contests, and you'll see it right there. Feed our first responders. Send them the name of your favorite first responder. And we'll get them a box of food, police, firefighters, EMS. Let us know who they are, the individuals we're looking for, not the department name. And then we'll feed the people that are on their shift that day. How about that? Thanks to Grill Master Tony, grillmastertony.com. Great show coming up. We're going to get to Jason Law, who's a great first responder as well. He's also running for county executive out in St. Charles County. We're going to get to J.J. Carafano, Congressman Eric Burleson, Senator Eric Schmidt, Catherine Hanaway, the next Attorney General of the state of Missouri when she takes the office in early September. We're going to get her on here live in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We're going to talk to Mark Schmitz, Jared Schmidt's dad, who continues to give back to veterans. And we'll tell you about how what he's doing right now, trying to get that done. Big anniversary for him coming up of that event. So we will talk about all that for you. Right now, we're going to get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm going to be going out tonight, I think, with the police, and with the military, of course. So we're going to do a job. The National Guard is great. They've done a fantastic job.
Yeah. Yeah. He went out and met with them, but everybody thought he meant he was going to strap on a bulletproof vest and go arrest somebody. That did not happen.
I built a Holocaust museum. And One thing about that experience that I can tell you, and I worked with Holocaust survivors for more than a decade to build this museum. One thing I learned in the process of that is that it doesn't take very long to tear apart a constitutional republic.
Is there a bigger blowhard in America? And I mean that literally and physically, than J.B. Pritzker. Seriously. Comparing a Holocaust museum to what's going on in America.
I want us to be so loud that they actually go running and trying to figure out what's that little racist town they all hiding in, and some, what is it, Missouri? Arkansas. I think they all ran to Arkansas.
Anybody know what Jasmine's talking about? Raise your hand. I don't. I do know they just eliminated her congressional seat down in Texas, and boy, is she mad.
I've straightened out crime in 4 days in D.C., and all they do is they say, he's a dictator.
Yeah. President Trump yesterday phoned in with my friend Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes used to be a guest on the show when we carried his program years ago before he moved to some syndication. And love Todd. In fact, the other day he reached out to me to because he wanted to interview Mike Weitzel, the guy that got kicked out of the St. Louis City game. And I gave him Mike's contact information so he could get him on his syndicated program and more people could hear about that debacle nationwide. But yesterday, Todd had the honor of hosting the president on his show, and some interesting things coming out of that. Number one, basically the president saying, listen, I'm solving crime. None of them want to give me any credit for it. So again, the Democrats picking the losing end of an 80-20, maybe a 90-10 issue here.
The place, people are getting mugged all over the place. Then they give you phony records like it's wonderful and it's worse than it ever was. But we've got it going. People are so happy. They're going out to restaurants again. I mean, they're so happy.
Yeah, it's weird. You have these reporters, even on places like CNN, admitting how much better things are in Washington, D.C. right now.
Pete is right that there is palpable increase in the quality of life in D.C. right now. It's like crime has evaporated almost overnight. I know we all have friends there. I know that they feel a lot safer. I know.
Wow. And, of course, that's on the CNN. They're all screaming at her within seconds of her saying that. How dare you suggest that? Because they can't. They can't allow this strategy to win. The left cannot let Donald Trump be victorious in lowering or eliminating some crimes in the nation's capital. Because if they do, guess what? It's a test.
We're doing a sort of a test right now in D.C. It's working unbelievably much faster than we thought. We've arrested hundreds of criminals, hardline criminals, people that will never be any good. I don't care what they say. You know, they say, oh, rehab. They're not going to rehab these people. These are hardline. They're born criminals. They were born to be criminals. That's all they are. And we got them out of the system.
Yeah, now we need to keep them in the system. That would be the key here. And I agree with the president completely. If this works, it puts an incredible amount of pressure on Kara Spencer and Megan Green and the people that run politics in places like St. Louis and Memphis and Chicago. Because it proves that their policies are dead wrong when it comes to fixing crime. What's the definition of stupidity? I don't have to repeat it for you. None of them have they just do the same thing over and over again, and crime continues to plague the area. Fix it. There's a way to fix it. Donald Trump is showing you in Washington, D.C. Hopefully that bleeds through here at some point, we hope. All right, coming up, have you thought about what AI means to your job? Have you thought about how easy it would be to replace your position with AI? It's a conversation we have to have. There are guardrails that need to be put in place, but there are a lot of people embracing this idea. We're going to talk to an expert on that when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Did you see the robot games the other day? Did you see any of that video? Scott, with the robots like competing against each other on athletic fields and stuff like that.
I have seen that like in China,
soccer game. Wow, it was really weird to watch. They're like falling down.
Yeah, the video I saw the other day, the first one fell, and the next one fell over top of it, and then another one fell on top of that.
Now, I'm making fun of that a little bit, but there's no doubt about it, the fact that robotics will already play a pretty big role in manufacturing, but with the AI coming on as strong as it is, it's going to play a much bigger role moving forward. What's it mean for jobs and all of that? I saw the opportunity to maybe answer a few of those questions. I've got Elon Inbar with us this morning. He is a thought leader in this field of robotics. He's the owner of Robot Lab. And Elon, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a minute this morning. So let's talk about this. Robo workers. What's the threat to the average, employee in America when you talk about being replaced by a robo worker?
So this is a common, misconception. People are really afraid from the unknowns, right? The robots are taking our jobs, and we're all going to be doom and gloom. Everything is bad. The thing is this: technologies are coming and going constantly, and the labor force is changing constantly to adjust to the to the new needs and new waves. Think about it this way. A few years ago, I'm talking about like 20, 30 years ago, every office had a battery of secretaries typing on typewriters. And when computers came in, we don't need them anymore. But does it mean that everyone was fired? No. People went to do more higher paying jobs. So they became, marketing advisors and, social media influencers and so on. Go back 100 years ago. I mean, there were pooper scoopers in the streets of Manhattan, just going behind horses. But then the cars came, and this job is gone. Is it good or bad? Right. And this is the important thing to understand. This is a revolution that is happening constantly in the workforce. We get new tools, we get new technologies, and matter of fact, AI and robotics will actually generate more jobs and more opportunities than ever before, just because of the scale of this technology.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at your website here for Robot Lab, and what you're offering here, like it's like mind blowing to me. Robots, mm-hmm. robot helpers for things even like I think you said memory care. I mean, tell me an idea what that means.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges right now in assisted living facilities is basically therapists to work with people with dementia. We don't have enough therapists to actually be with them and remind them who they are and why they are there and all of that. The only thing that is missing today is just someone going to someone and just saying, hey, Mrs. Jones, you're here because you have some memory problems. Your spouse will come later today. Your kids will come to visit. Please follow me. I have breakfast for you. Sometimes that's the only thing that is needed, right? This human touch, right? And because we don't have that ability, people wake up in unknown rooms. They don't know why they're not home. Where is their family? They want to go back home, and they no one is there to talk to them. So they become upset and sometimes violent. That's why these departments are very locked down. And what we are doing is we are introducing robotics, humanoid robots that can actually come and do that. And basically on a tablet on the chest, the robot can show images and videos of their wedding day, of their first child that was born. Good morning, Mrs. Jones. You are here because you have memory problems. Your spouse will be here and all of that. So it's basically humanizing the way that we treat and help these people, be less confused.
Yeah. Elon Inbar is with us this morning. He runs a Robot Lab. You look at this website, and you can Google Robot Lab. This looks like what you might imagine. I mean, you've got robots that look like an updated version of C-3PO, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we have robots in different categories. From mostly what we do is commercial cleaning, commercial delivery. Think about delivery robots in restaurants or cleaning of airports or hotels or assisted living facilities that we mentioned. warehouse and so on, cooking robots, security, helping with patrol, everywhere where people don't want to do the jobs. No one wants to push a vacuum cleaner for 8 hours a day anymore. But still, floors need to be cleaned, right? In schools, in warehouses and so on. We have something to help with, and we have a solution that can clean hundreds of thousands of square feet per day, and they cost, roughly $40-$50.
Wow.
And again, it's not replacing people. $40-$50 per day. They're not replacing people because, to begin with, people don't want to do these jobs.
Well,
and that's where we are helping.
And I've heard that, but I also wonder, like in a case, you mentioned cooking, in a case where a state like California increases the minimum wage to $30 an hour, then you start looking at robotics to cook the food, right?
Yeah, exactly. But not just that. Before the pandemic, we had around 30,000 Chinese restaurants in the U.S., and today there are around 12,000. And the reason is that most of the Chinese chefs just went back home when, the COVID started and all of that.
Wow.
And they never came back. And if you're a business owner and you need to run your restaurant, how can you run it without a chef? So we have a way to help business owners stay open, competitive.
Just amazing. Mr. Imbar, we appreciate your time this morning. That's insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, you bet. It's called Robot Lab. Just Google it. It's pretty amazing what they're doing with some of these robots, and there's no doubt about it that it's going to replace a lot of human jobs here at some point. If they can do it more efficiently this way and not pay them $30 an hour. Thank you, Gavin Newsom. That's what you get. All right, Check a Business coming up. All right, I am excited. I'm a little worried because I get to see the guy that sang that song on Monday. David Lee Roth is going to be live at the Factory. And based on the reviews and the videos that have leaked out from other performances, it won't be overwhelming. But we'll see what happens.
It's going to be fine.
It'll be fun. I had to beg a friend to go with me. I bought the tickets as soon as they went on sale, and I just had to see it. I had to witness it for myself. I saw them when they reunited. When was that? About 2012, and they did that last album. And I went to Louisville. I drove to Louisville, met a friend, and we watched Van Halen down there with David Lee Roth. And even back then, he was largely speaking most of the lyrics. Like he's not one of those rock stars whose voice aged well. It just didn't. You got some of these people like Kevin Cronin and others who are still out on tour who sound great, but not David Lee. And ain't looking real great these days either. However, he's still David Lee Roth, and they're playing all old Van Halen music and maybe some of his solo stuff, and I'm kind of excited. I'm looking forward to it. Ethan, stop laughing at me. Ethan's laughing at me. who knows? As I say to my wife all the time, he may never tour again. He probably doesn't need to, but he may never tour again.
Probably can't tour again.
But. Maybe not. All right, let's get to Nicole, please. All right, Nicole Murray, how are you?
I'm good. It's Friday. I'm ready for the weekend.
So who is that artist in your musical repertoire who 40 years from now, you'll still be willing to go pay and see them in concert, even if maybe they're not at the peak of their performance anymore?
Ooh, I don't know.
Who might that be?
I don't know if it's anyone that you would know. I guess you could consider Backstreet Boys in that realm.
Oh wow.
They're out in Vegas now performing at the Sphere, and all millennials are going crazy over it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't even have to wait 40 years. They're all older now, right?
Yeah, they're getting up there. I guess you could say I'm a Swiftie too, so Taylor Swift in 40 years,
That'll
basic
be,
answer, but it'll do.
It'll be Taylor Kelce by then. Right.
Ooh, look at you knowing about hip hop and things Hollywood.
No, I just mean she's probably going to marry Travis Kelce by then, right? That'll be her. She's going to change her name, you think?
No, I knew what you meant. I'm just impressed that you're like up with the times, knowing who she's dating and all that.
When you said hip hop, I'm like, was that a musical reference? I wasn't sure what you were saying there. That's funny. All right, what's going on out there?
Okay, so futures are slightly higher Thursday. The Dow Industrials lost 152, the NASDAQ down 72, the S&P 500 down 25. For the past few months, bucket-sized coffee drinks have been popping up on social media sites, drawing the attention of coffee lovers across the country. Now, coffee shops in St. Louis are on it. Local shops like Noctua Coffee are selling iced lattes with multiple espresso shots in plastic buckets, complete with lids, straws, and handles. Southwest Airlines will no longer provide what was the only regular nonstop service from St. Louis to Little Rock, Arkansas, Des Moines, Iowa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, and Wichita, Kansas. A Southwest spokesperson said the move is intended to better support north-south connectivity. Top machinist union officials and a Democratic congressman joined striking workers outside of a Boeing defense facility near St. Louis, pressing the company for a contract closer to an agreement reached with its Seattle area workers. The workers went on strike on August 4th. The average rate on a 30-year U.S. mortgage held steady this week at its lowest level in nearly 10 months, an encouraging sign for prospective home buyers who have held back by stubbornly high home financing costs. Freddie Mac reports the long-term rate was unchanged from last week at 6.58%. Apple is raising the price of a subscription to its Apple TV Plus streaming service for U.S. customers. The technology giant said an Apple TV Plus subscription will now cost $12.99 a month. That's up from $9.99 per month. The annual cost for Apple TV Plus will remain at nearly $100. The new pricing takes effect for new subscribers on August 21st. And finally, did you know the average man spends over $15,000 in a relationship? This includes going out on dates, handling the bills, or just a partner's overall expenses.
So that's supposed to be the average of what it costs a dude to date?
Correct.
Like multiple women or just one? Or what are we talking here?
Shame on you, one woman.
No, but I mean, so this is somebody in a relationship. This is what they on average would spend in a year.
I think in a relationship or even the dating stages, this applies to both, that on average it costs about $15,000 to woo the partner, if you will.
Okay. All right. So, Ethan, I'm gonna get you to chime in here because your daughter is still young and not in the dating scene yet. But I wanna ask, Nicole, what are your expectations of a young man when he comes to take you out on a date? Do you expect him to hold the door for you? Do you expect him to open your car door for you? Are these expectations you have when you go on a date?
I mean, opening the door, things like that definitely get the brownie points. But if you want a piece of this, you got to woo me. Like, I expect lunch or dinner to be on you, kind of thing. Like, I think that's the biggest part of it.
And I am stunned these days, like when I have conversations with my daughter, if she's not sure if the boy's going to pay or not. I'm like, if a boy is going to date you, number one, he's going to come to this house and get you.
That's
unless
the
there's some extenuating yes. circumstance. I'm going to be watching out the window to see if he opens the door for you, because that's an indication to me of that he was raised right. Right.
Right.
And I fully expect them, if they're taking you out on a date, to pay for the movie ticket or the dinner. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning.
Especially in the beginning. Absolutely.
And he should have the wherewithal to come and meet me.
Yes, shake hands with me and look
right.
me in the eye.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
What do you do if they don't? Like, if they make excuses and, you know, they don't meet you or they don't come to the house? Does she not go on the date?
Well, maybe not more than one.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a lot of pushback on that, but maybe not more than one. We will express our opinion over this individual if that happens.
Would get an earful.
Yes,
of it,
she'll get an earful over it.
Yeah, no. I always tell my parents and my sisters, have at it. Ask them all the questions you want. I'd rather you scare them now than scare them later. So.
That's right. Hey, Nicole, have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Good talking to you this morning. No, I think that's reasonable, and it's how we raised our son on how you treat women. And right. when you open the door for a woman, and you're going to run across it. Because I know he's run across it, not on a date, but just like make it, you see a woman, you're both walking toward a door at the same time, and you step forward first to pull the door open. That's just good manners. Yeah. It's not some attempt to be super macho or anything like that. It's just good manners. And if you're a woman who's some sort of feminist and you're offended by that, get over it. Go pound sand. I'm always going to be the first one to the door if there's somebody behind me, particularly of the female persuasion, and I'm going to open the door for them.
My wife kind of hates that, though.
She doesn't like it?
Only reason is because she doesn't like being the first person to go in
restaurant. Okay.
So she usually wants me to go in first.
I see.
But I still open the door. And I'll hold it for the 10 people behind
me. What if a stranger opened the door for her? She wouldn't be offended by that.
No, she's not going to be offended. She just doesn't like the having to go in first.
Yeah, I always try to open the door. The only thing that bothers me is when you open the door for somebody, woman or otherwise, and they don't say thank you.
No.
That drives me insane.
Yeah.
I mean, most people do. I have a pretty good experience
with
that.
I'm perfectly capable of opening my own door. Go pound sand. I'm being a nice guy here, all right? And I think that's still how we should raise our children, but it's become obvious to me because I have two older children, and then my daughter is 9 years younger than my middle child, and there's been a shift in expectations in this generation. They don't expect those things. And I don't know if it's because the parents aren't teaching that of their young men anymore. I don't know, because now I'm dealing with a teenage daughter. But I tried to instill that in my teenage son, and he still does it to this day. So I don't know.
As
he should. Thank you. And every parent, in my opinion, should be teaching their young men to treat women with respect and pay for dinner. If you ask them on a date, pay for it. That should just be a given, in my opinion.
But your daughter should know that, too, because that's her self-worth.
She should.
You know, so she should be able to see if a guy doesn't get out of the car.
Yep.
All right, this is probably not a good
thing. And that's the message that we tried to tell her.
He's not opening my door. He's not doing this. Okay. All right.
Yep.
I see how he is.
Yep. Look for somebody to treat you like your dad treats you.
There you go.
Thank you. That's the standard you should have, in my opinion. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News in just a couple of minutes. Scott's going to help me out with that. Next hour, we've got a full hour for you. Congressman Eric Burleson. We'll get his take on this whole redistricting, because he helped lead the fight in Missouri to do this a couple of years ago when he was a Missouri state senator. We got J.J. Carafano. We're going to talk to Jason Law, who's a fine member of law enforcement who happens to also be running for St. Charles County executive. He just got a big endorsement, and we're going to talk to him a few minutes after 7. Stay tuned. All right. Well, Marcus Lemonis, I know you know that name from Camping World, right? And that's the other company that he ran for a long time, has just announced that the company will not open any more brick and mortar locations in California. He said that they
that being Bed Bath and Beyond.
Bed Bath and Beyond. Yeah. Now he's executive chairman of Bed Bath and Beyond, but he said that their comeback will not include any locations in California. They're taking a stand for common sense. He said that the business environment in California is not healthy. And he said it doesn't give businesses the chance to succeed. He said employees deserve jobs that last, and they're just driving the competition out of the market in California, largely because of their requirements and, of course, their $30 an hour minimum wage.
I think it's always good when businesses make decisions for their for-profit, and if the regulations are onerous on them, then they shouldn't open stores.
And
there.
That needs to be in an ad when Gavin Newsom runs for president. I hope somebody's paying attention. He would do that to America.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
A World War II veteran from Nebraska, believed to be America's last surviving ace pilot, has died. He was 103. Now, to be an ace pilot, this was from World War II, a pilot has to shoot down 5 or more enemy planes.
Wow.
And Donald McPherson, a Navy fighter pilot aboard the aircraft carrier USS Essex in the Pacific Theater, did so when he was engaged with Japanese forces. He flew F-6F Hellcat fighters in the squadron VF-83, and he enlisted in the Navy in 1942 at the age of 18.
Sends a chill down my spine just thinking about
it. Wow.
As a different generation, the greatest generation. So, our honor to Mr. McPherson for sure. All right, so The latest dilemma in the WNBA. You know they've been tossing some big green sex toys onto the floor at these WNBA games. They've now arrested another man. This is an Ohio man. In some of these WNBA cities, they've now banned bags. You can't carry a bag into the game out of fear it's going to contain one of these very large green sex toys, which have been tossed onto the floor.
What is behind this?
I don't know.
It just happened.
I've yet to figure it out.
Is it a sexism thing?
So this guy, Charles Burgess from Dayton, Ohio, was arrested Wednesday, charged with two counts of assault because he threw the object at the Dallas Wings versus New York Liberty game on August 5th, but it didn't make it to the floor. And instead, it hit a 12-year-old girl in the head who was sitting down below him somewhere in the stands. Way to go, Charles.
He knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, can't wait to see his mugshot.
He claims it didn't hit the girl, but
they claim it did.
There's video.
Okay, yeah.
So,
thank you.
I hate to admit this, but there was a time not long ago when Buffalo Bills fans, you know how diehard there were a few bad apples that would do this at Bills games.
They would throw them,
especially when the Patriots played.
Oh, really?
Especially when I think it was targeted at Tom Brady for some reason. I never supported it. I still don't.
Yep.
People do weird stuff. Well, there was a dog seen wandering for days in Pennsylvania with its head stuck in a large plastic jar.
Aww.
He's been freed, finally, of the snack container and is being treated by a vet. But volunteers were able to find the dog. She was spotted in a cornfield by a drone pilot. And so the dog has now been named Dallas in honor of the drone pilot, Dallas Furman.
Aw, and they found it and fixed it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
For several days, a plastic snack jar stuck over her head.
Aww. That would happen to my golden retriever if we looked the other way for a minute. If she could get her head in the jar, I would want to leave her like that for at least a little while to maybe teach her a lesson.
I'm not sure it would sink in there.
I was thinking that too.
She is ravenous when it comes to snacks. She'd eat herself to death if we'd let her. I'm convinced.
One of my dogs, when I was a kid, ate an entire bowl of Hershey's Kisses with the wrappers.
Wow.
You know, chocolate is terrible for dogs.
Oh. Right, yeah.
Unbelievable. She didn't have any problems, but we came home and she had eaten the whole bowl.
I bet cleanup was fun for days after that.
All right. Rapper Lil Nas X has been arrested and taken to the hospital because he was found walking in his underwear on an L.A. street. And when the officers approached him, he charged at them and punched one of them. So I'm thinking there's either a mental health crisis going on here or he was on something. He was transported to a local hospital for a possible overdose and placed under arrest for battery on a police officer. The suspect was confirmed as Montero Lamar Hill, also known as Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
Not familiar with him personally. I've heard the name.
You've heard it.
Yeah, he's
he did Old Town
Road. He's pretty popular.
Oh, did he really? He did? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's pretty popular in the hip-hop world.
Yeah.
Do you know the heavy metal band Mastodon?
Yes.
The former lead guitarist just died in a motorcycle accident. It's an Atlanta-based band. Brett Hines was killed Wednesday night in a crash while on a Harley-Davidson, and the driver of a BMW failed to yield, making a turn in an intersection and crashed into him. Yeah, so
that's sad. Not 51. One of the big bands, but yeah, seriously. Young, very young. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jason Law, running for county executive out there. He got a big endorsement he wants to talk about. Jim Carafano. Eric Burleson, the congressman, we'll talk to him about whether or not Missouri is the next state to redistrict and add maybe one more Republican seat. We'll be back after the break.
Get more at 971talk.com.